We're going to take a look at the realm of folly and six foolish life strategies. We're going to have to move pretty fast in order to cover all of them. Folly itself, the English word, it means, according to Webster's, a lack of good sense or normal prudence and foresight. Lack of good sense or lack of normal prudence and foresight. You're just not looking ahead. You're not taking care like you ought to. Or you're not using good sense. Now, what we call folly in English is a little bit different from what Scripture calls folly. Folly in English, the idea is just good judgment. Folly in the Scriptures is, folly is a lack of good judgment. Folly in the Scriptures is a lack of good judgment, understanding that God's in charge. So, Scripture would call some things folly that the world today would not. Like immorality. That's folly. Cheating. That's folly. Because God's in charge. So, it's a lack of good sense. There actually, in the Old Testament, there is no single word that takes in the concept of folly like we have this word in English. It sort of covers it all. There is the word fool. Our English word fool. That means a person who uses poor judgment. But again, there's no general word fool in the Old Testament. Instead, there are several follies. They're all ways of living that represent very poor judgment. And based on those follies, there are certain fools. The follies, the idea in the Old Testament is that folly is sort of a never-never realm of vanity, just emptiness. Everything that moves out of folly always ends up creating something that's transitory and unsatisfying. Just when we get what we want, it's all evaporated. It just never does really satisfy. So the wise person fears the Lord and strikes out trusting Him to do what is right and to work hard to succeed. Folly always ends up with false hopes, vain trust that never worked out. We trusted it and it didn't work. Misconceptions, misperceptions, misunderstandings, wretched strategies, and then wasted lives. So you want to avoid folly. You've been given a map of folly. And for those of you who are listening on the tape, you will probably receive one as a handout. But let me describe this. We talked earlier about the two halves of the page. The realm of wisdom that has these increasing levels in it. First knowledge, then understanding. And then what we call generally wisdom that has these higher and higher levels to it. We first learn knowledge. Out of knowledge, understanding grows. So understanding increases, our ability to create strategies and succeed increases in the way we handle people in our home, the way we handle people at work, the way we design our plans to get stuff done. There's the realm of wisdom. The thin line, the fear of the Lord, is the border of wisdom. Those who break through that line and begin to let God run their lives, they become wise people. There's more to learn, but they've already started. Below the line, in the realm, the whole realm of folly, there are really several boxes. On the map that you've received, below the line, there's first a rectangle that says simplicity. The Hebrew words are pethi, P-E-T-H-I-Y. The realm is pethiuth. That's the noun term for simplicity. It's the realm of being credulous and gullible. The simple person is credulous and gullible. We're going to take a look at them in just a moment. A simple person, pethiuth, simplicity, is this first level of folly below wisdom. It's closer to it than any of the rest. The next level down is a folly. The term in Scripture is eveleth. I-V-V-E-L-E-T-H. Eveleth. And basically, it's a folly of contrariness. Stubborn intent really is more the idea. I am determined that I'm going to get what I want. I'm just absolutely determined. Now Scripture says it's this folly that's bound up in the heart of all children. We're born with it. And it's the rod of discipline. It's training and correction and punishment where necessary. that will actually drive this out of the person. They can get rid of this. But it's born into all of us, the stubbornness and stubborn intent to get what we want. Actually, two fools build out of this in the scripture. We're going to take a look at in a minute. One of them is called the Castile, and the other is called the Evil. We'll take a look at them in a moment. Castile and Evil. But this is the folly. It's the one under simplicity. It's further from wisdom than simplicity is, but there are others yet further away. The next level down is sakal. It sounds similar to the term for the wise. This is the folly of blind desire, disastrously unrestrained desire. We'll talk about this in a moment. The person who goes this far in the scriptures, this kind of folly is just really dumb, but people get trapped in it. The next level down, actually, as you move into the next level, further down into folly, you begin to move into criminality. Halela is the way you say the word. Halela. It means self-exaltation. If I'm really into this stuff, I'm going to be at the center of attention, and I'm going to run everybody else. I will rule. I'll be the emperor, or the bully, or whatever it takes. But I'm going to have rulership, and I'll be the center of attention. Scripture says that this, in Ecclesiastes 9:3, this is in our hearts all the days of our lives, and then we go to the grave. We never get over this one. We just have to learn how to handle it. Now you might say, well, I don't want to be the center of attention. But actually, we work out different strategies for being the ruler and for being in charge. Some of us do it by getting sick and making people obey. Others of us do it by becoming belligerent. There's a general theme to this halela, but all of us have it, and you have to learn how to deal with it. The next one, and the furthest one down, is a folly called nevela. The halela folly is a folly that criminals like the mafia draw from. Also, people that love to split churches. The nevela, the lower one, this is a predatory way of living. It includes in the Old Testament things like rape. It includes immorality, but also goes into rape, rape, murder, homosexual rape, gang rape. It includes things that are blasphemous, just total blasphemy of God, including taking things devoted to God for yourself, or saying horrible things about God, or being a false prophet. Thinking in your own heart there is no God, but pursuing a religious profession just to make money out of it. You don't care what happens to people. The person who's into this kind of folly is a predator. They may be a financial predator, sexual predator, religious predator, but they're predatory. They're people who have lost their conscience. So I haven't lost it, they killed it. We're going to take a look at these different fools. In the terms that Scripture uses, this fool, the one who builds out of the sakal folly, actually he has the same name, sakal. The one that builds out of halela, he's called an halal. It's a word that means to praise. He's a self-praiser. This other one is named Nabal, Nabal. He's the fellow who has the name, the husband of Abigail, who tries to cheat King David and just about gets himself killed. Finally, God does him in. I've tried to come up with good English names for these, but I haven't yet. I thought maybe we could do Evelyn here. Evelyn Evil. We need a guy's name for this first one, though. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you on a tour of the fools. We've looked at the follies. After you cross the line of refusing to fear God, The first group is the simple, the gullible. The next group are people who have stepped out and determined they're going to have what they want. They have their two different strategies to go after it. The next group are people who have gone to the point where desire just takes them over, runs their life. The next group, further down, are people who intend to exalt themselves over others. The last group are people of no conscience. They're predators. They're extremely dangerous. And these are all translated by the word fool. What do they have in common, all of them? Well, first of all, they're fools in the sense that they make extremely poor decisions, given the fact that God runs the universe and he runs it in line with his moral principles. And he's very, very much involved at a detailed level. They're fools also. There are some other characteristics. None of them are willing to count on God. They all discount him different ways. They all make poor decisions. They have different strategies for making poor decisions. They all make poor decisions. They all bring judgment on themselves. Pardon? They're all driven by self. Different ways, but they're all driven by self. And they all have trouble with their mouth. Every one of them has a mouth problem. So you find some commonalities among them. They deserve the term, general term, fool. But as you dig further into what each one is, you begin to come up with some very interesting people. As a matter of fact, you may know them. Let's take a look at them. The first one is the simple person. Sometimes we say simpleton, I think the King James does. But the idea is not a person who has a lack of intellectual capacity. As a matter of fact, in the scriptures, the problem with the fool is not a mental incapacity, it's a moral incapacity. It's not a mental deficiency, it's a moral deficiency. They will not obey God. So I'm going to try to describe these for you in a broad way. The first fool, the simple, the basic concept, they're gullible. And if you tell them so, they'll get really mad at you. They're gullible. They can be taken in easily. They are not yet a fully dedicated fool, actually. They're a fool in formation. All of us grow up, we come up with folly in our hearts. As children, we're disciplined. As we get older, we even make more and more choices. We hit a point where we enter adolescence, we start making more and more choices on our own about how we use our money, how we use our time, the friends we associate with. Especially during that period of adolescence, which in our culture runs on up to around 20, 23. During that period, there's just a fundamental belief that life is not that hard. It's just not that complicated, Dad. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. It's just not that complicated. These are, the word is used as a synonym for young people. But it's just not that complicated. The actual Hebrew word means open. I'm an open person. I have an open mind. Yeah, it actually means roomy. It's open and roomy. There's room in there for stuff that shouldn't be in there. It's too roomy. You may have heard the phrase, some open minds need to be shut down for repairs. Well, this person doesn't understand how complex life is, and they'll accept ideas that are destructive and people who are destructive. So, let me give you an animal that's like them. This is the young of about any of the higher animals. The young can be taken in very easily, eaten alive by predatorial things. And young people are that way. In the Bible, the simple love their simplicity, the scripture says. They don't want to know life's more complicated. They like it like this. It's pretty simple. They're bulletproof. Due to an experience with how complicated the world really is. They tend to be open to too much. They tend to believe too much. They believe the wrong people. Scripture says that they'll believe anything, while the prudent man really checks to make sure stuff is fact. The life story of the simple is they grow up having to battle folly. They don't really want to do wrong necessarily, but they're battling, and they're getting two different directions from the society around them. One is wisdom saying you better learn how to deal with life, and the other is folly saying, oh, it's not that hard. It's easy. You can cut corners. Ultimately, if they don't aggressively move toward wisdom, they will slip into Eveleth, the folly of stubborn intent. Scripture says the simple inherit folly. There's a time period where they can still go ahead and cross over into wisdom. But after a while, they begin to learn the ways of others around them. So they're a fool in formation. They can aggressively move. They need to learn the Word of God. But if they don't watch it, they'll begin to buy into the ideas of the world. The next fool, down, and we're now starting to deal with committed fools, the Kessel. The basic idea behind him is false hope. It comes from the word meaning hope or trust. This person has a lazy streak, and they have big dreams. They're going to achieve their dreams. But with a lazy streak and big dreams, what do you have to have? A shortcut. A magic key. So they're always looking for the next thing that will work. They'll do anything except work hard. And long. So they're always looking. It may be, Amway one time. Some other scheme for adding extra income another time. But they keep moving from false hope to false hope to false hope to false hope. They tend to lie a lot, tend to be likable, tend to run their mouth a great deal, tend to gush. It seems to be a folly especially associated with guys. Though women can be like this. What they're looking for is the easy way. Most of the material in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes is about this fool. Over a time period, they have that stubborn intent to get what they want, and they're going to do it by finding the magic key. They're always looking for the magic key. You can put up by false hope there, you can put magic key. I don't have an animal for this one. I'll give you an animal for the next one, though. Over a time period, people let this person have opportunity, but they keep messing up because of their laziness and irresponsibility. They're not totally irresponsible, but they keep on messing up. If you walk with wise men, you become wise, but the companion of Kessel fools will suffer harm. That's the word that's used there, Kessel. So this is the party bunch. They love a good party, but they just won't work hard. The next fool, you can remember him by easy way. Next fool, the Eveleth. This is a contrary person. They also have that stubborn intent, the same folly of Eveleth. It's a stubborn intent, but in their case, it's not just to get what they want. It's what they want is my way. I want my way. This first one, he wants something out there. Usually it's the grand life. But this person just wants my way. This is the my way fool. And their strategy for getting it is being contrary. They're going to be stubborn, reactive, maybe manipulative. They have an agenda. This is the mother-in-law, the traditional mother-in-law fits here. The person who knows what you really ought to be doing and who's going to manipulate you into doing it, whether you want to or not. But this can be a guy too. The scripture says that these people generate ill will in relationships over the long haul. They mock at the idea of forgiving people or that they need to be forgiven. They're so in control They want control. Not to be a ruler, but just to have their agenda done. They're so in control that people who are adults begin to back off from them. They have a lot of conflict trying to force people to do stuff they don't want to. And over the years, they get lonelier and more isolated as the ill will keeps building over time. They're adversarial. They'll quickly get into an argument, a fight, a temporal flare. They're implacable adversaries, as a matter of fact. Once they get stirred up, they never forget it. They'll keep on through the years. They'll just egg stuff on for ages that ought to have died long ago. My animal for this one is a badger. You know, badgers are absolutely determined. And they fight to the death, and all animals, even big bears, give them a wide room. In families, these people create a lot of hurt and bitterness in the lives of other people as they try to manipulate others, and they're not able to. In church, these people create a lot of hurt the same way. People sort of tiptoe around these people. This particular fool is the one associated with illness. In the scriptures, they get a lot of diseases. And interestingly, you find out that very angry people, type A personalities? Very angry people have high heart attack rates. This kind of fool, if a child grows up to be one of these, they don't change apart from the intervention of God. Scripture says that you can grind them with mortar and pestle and to try to separate them from their folly, and it just ain't going to happen. When God intervenes, though, sometimes there are changes. So you don't want to let a child grow up to be stubborn. Or you could put another animal here, and that's a mule. Some of these people major on fighting. Others major on stubbornness. You know, mules are just real stubborn. But one or the other, this person wants their way. They have a plan for you. They know what is good for you. They don't want to be your lord. They just want you to do what they want you to. If you're like this, you need to let it go and start letting other people. This person, the Castillo, needs to learn to work hard, to quit trying the easy routes and really trust God and hang in there in tough times. The Evil, this person needs to learn to let other people be adults and begin to trust God and let go of so much control. And they need to start asking forgiveness, learning to handle relationships and repair them. The next fool, the cycle we looked at, the fool of blind desire. Let me erase this stuff on time. This person has come to a point in life, from my own studies, I think probably they once were a Castillo, looking for a good time. And they're going to have their good time the easy way. But what they really want, the way they're looking for in life, is the fun way. And the key concept is blind desire. Interestingly, the Castile and the Avil, the scriptures say the Castiles, just don't have... They don't really take God into account. They believe there probably is one, but he doesn't really impact daily life. The Avil, scripture says, just don't have much experience with God. They're so into control themselves, they have never backed off and begun to trust God. The cycles, very interestingly, in the scripture, this bunch is very religious. They would be the people who would say they believe the Bible cover to cover. Problem is, they just won't connect belief and behavior. They're really driven by their desires. Could be drugs, could be sex. And because they will rush into these things, they constantly live deprived lives. They constantly have problems. A typical cycle would be something, I think from what I've seen, very often, this person has fit, in my experience, dealing with a lot of people. The sort of street person mentality. Not all people on the street would fit this. But some do. Very religious, believe there really is a God, but just will not do what the Bible says. And the typical cycle would be something like this. There's a cycle. where people start trying to help this person out. They get some responsibility, like maybe you hire them to take care of a store for you or something like that. Not a very big operation. An opportunity for the old desires comes along. It could be sex, could be drugs, alcohol. And this person's in the back room with somebody on the floor, or they're high out of their mind and people are carrying stuff out of the store. And you walk in and see what has gone on. You just go ballistic, throw them out. The circumstances of life just beat them up, whip them terribly. They get all broken and bleeding, and then somebody and feel repentant, and somebody comes along and tries to help them out again, and the whole cycle starts all over again. Because they will be driven by blind desire, they will not listen. Until they come to the point they've been beaten up so bad, perhaps. This is an addictive type person, but not only addictive. From the scriptural perspective, this is the dodo bird. Dodos weighed 470 pounds. Huge birds in the South Pacific. They would walk up to people and people would club them over the head and kill them. That's how discerning they were. And so there are no more dodo birds. What scripture says about the cycle fool is that even as he walks along the way, he declares to everybody what he is. He can't even handle the simple circumstances of walking through life without looking like a fool. So in the scriptures, this is the most, quote, foolish of all the fools. Now, this person needs to begin to put belief and behavior together. They need to start looking beyond the party times to all the consequences that they've suffered in the past and know they're coming around again. It usually takes someone to walk with them and a lot of circumstances for them to finally begin to turn. Oh, by the way, on the simple, good character, good movie to watch is Pinocchio. Pinocchio is just so open. He ends up just about destroyed because he believes whoever comes along. This person would be the grasshopper in the Ant and the Grasshopper cartoon. Fiddling while the summer lasts, starving in the winter. Next foolish life strategy. This person leaves other people to pick up the messes. They even tend to be a sort of a fan of the religious fringe leaders. They're into religiosity, but it never really bites into their behavior. The next fool, going down, at this point would be in the crossover, possibly into the edge of criminality, is the halal. They want the glory way. They want to be the center of attention. They're the kid pushing others out of the spotlight in the early years. Want to be the center of attention. They want to be the boss. Some want more spotlight. Others want more rule. If you want the full-blown picture, it would be Al Capone in Chicago or Frank Nitti after his death. These are very capable leaders. They have a lot of leadership sense. They'll usually gather a group of people around them. They very often are well-liked. And with those people, they'll work to strategize and intimidate others until they have control. This happens sometimes in family life. Sometimes family members, extended family, they sort of appoint themselves head of the family and other people resent it. In church life, These are people who the scripture says that two types of people are a problem in the church. Those who come in like wolves from the outside and destroy the flock. Or from among yourselves, Paul says in Acts 20:28, people will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. These are church splitters from the inside. They're sort of self-appointed leaders. The thing they won't do is they will not serve the interests of others in order to gain leadership. They'll cut people off at the knees. In order to have their leadership, form a posse, cut people off from these, take the leadership, in order to have the glory they want. So, and from a scriptural standpoint, it's just the way it is. You have to watch out for these people. So if they appear, you throw them out. I want to demonstrate what they are. This is, I'd say, is a peacock. I just can't wait to display how great they are. In Psalm 73, this is the fool that is envied. Surely God is good to Israel, the psalmist says. But as for me, my foot nearly slipped when I saw the prosperity of the arrogant in the NIV or the foolish in the NAS. The word is halal. How they have a carefree life. They live at a high level, but they're wicked. They're violent. They don't care what they do. They blaspheme God. So he's looking at them saying, I try so hard to be good and you don't give me anything, God. And then the last of the psalm, he reevaluates and says, yeah, but these guys do go suddenly one day. The halal, you watch out for these. This person needs to learn to serve the interests of others and to give God time to elevate them. Like Absalom, they tend to want it now. Absalom was the son of David, intelligent, brilliant, great strategist, who decided to take over the kingdom before David was gone. He paid for it with his life. The last fool is Nabal, N-A-B-A-L. These people are looking for the predatory way. The halals may believe there is a God, but they don't believe he really works in ordinary circumstances. That's probably one of the reasons why they have to take things into their own hands in church life. God's just not going to deal with stuff. The Nabal, there's a scripture that says, the fool says in his heart there is no God. It uses this term. It's the Nabal who says in his heart there is no God. They are practical atheists. They believe there is no God. Therefore, they realize there are no boundaries for them. Those verses in Psalm 53 go on to say, they are detestable, corrupt, perverse. These are very twisted people. I heard Jeffrey Dahmer say one time, homosexual cannibal, say one time that he originally believed, this is on NBC, I think, originally believed that mankind, we all just came up from the slime by evolution. Whenever you died, that was it. You were dead. So he saw no reason to change his behavior for anyone. He was just going to do what he wanted to do. Then he said, but I now know that Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, and I'm going to have to give an account for my behavior to him. So my behaviors had to change. That was 6 months before he got beaten to death in prison. He's a very logical atheist. Sort of like Hitler. These people believe there is no God, so there are no limits on what they want to do. They kill their conscience. Some of them are financial predators. Like I said, sexual predators. These are child molesters. They're just going to have what they want, and they don't care who it hurts. As a matter of fact, if there are two ways to get what they want, one way that would hurt no one, and the other way that would bring pain to someone, they would prefer the second way. It seems to me, as I've studied them, that it looks like they're almost involved in self-worship as they execute pain on other people, because they're showing their power to bring hurt and harm to others like a god, the god who's not there. Their cruelty is almost like self-worship. The word literally, Nabal, if you want to translate it exactly, would be villain. A person committed to do the low, vile, corrupt, mean in order to get what they want. Villain. One translation of the Nabal folly, the one this person deals with, is villainy. These people seek religious professions. They're often religious predators. In the Old Testament, they were. They use their religious position to get money and for immorality in Jeremiah. Very often today we'll find people who crop up in conservative or liberal religious circles. And they're preying on children. They're involved in immorality in the congregation. And then these things come out in the open. Whenever the Nabal is discovered, you know what people usually say? This is my experience. They usually say, oh, but he was such a nice person. There's this nice exterior layer that allows them to get close to people, close enough to prey on them. Like a stingray lying with the sand scattered over it until the prey comes close and then they're stabbed. So what the attitude of Scripture is, this is just part of life. And you need to understand these things. These people are around, and you need to be set to deal with them. Now, if you're listening to the tape, these are six foolish life strategies. The simple, oh, by the way, our Nabal, predatory, the predatory way here. I would say the fox for the less, for the lesser ones, and the python for the worse ones. Lying, waiting, getting close, and then crushing. Now these are strategies for getting what you want without God involved. Either I become unrealistic about life and I start trying to find that magic key and not work hard. Or I start getting real demanding, controlling, manipulative, trying to make people do what I want them to do. It's for their own good. And I create reactions so that I live in personal pain and bitterness through the years. Or I just sort of abandon responsibility and go with the flow. And I look for my fun wherever I can get it, and I take it and then live with the consequences. Or apparently less frequent, I have some leadership ability, and I'm not going to wait on God, and nor will I serve other people. I'm going to see me served, and I'm going to see it in time. Or, within the ball, maybe I've been hurt in the past, but for whatever, I've decided God's not in the picture, period, and I'm going to do what I want to. Well, these are foolish life strategies because there really is a God. And that God is in charge of every quark in every subatomic particle and every molecule and everything in the universe. And he's a moral God, and he brings lifelong consequences. Not only lifelong consequences, but eternity-long consequences. If you have been a person who just doesn't want life to be that complicated, grow up, smell a coffee. Life is complicated. You need to learn how to handle it. It is not simple. Don't grow frustrated if you don't succeed real quick. Wisdom takes a while to learn. But don't live deceived. If you've got that lazy streak in you, a lot of guys do, just understand it's going to take hard work for a long time. That's what diligence is. To really succeed, diligent hands rule. There are promises from God. But you have to work at it and you have to stay with it. If you had this controlling attitude toward others, back off. Let people deal with God. Don't get in the way. Make suggestions, but don't put the emotional whammy on others. Back off. Let God deal with people. Focus on what God wants you to do rightly toward them rather than what they ought to be doing. If you have been the cycle, you're going to have to learn responsibility, and it's going to be a painful process. You may fail several times, but just keep on going. Remember the pain. You don't want it again. Responsibility is good for you. Responsibility develops us. It's not pleasure that develops us. Responsibility develops us. Out of responsibility will come blessing to you. If it's the halal, if you've tended to be arrogant, and we all have that born into us. But if you tended to be arrogant, self-centered, and feeling like you ought to be special and then other people ought to step back, learn to serve. Some halals are very overt and pushy in a group. Others are just quietly reserved with a smirk on their face. But both feel so much better than everybody else. Learn to serve. Become a servant. God will exalt you in due time. If you've been in the ball, you've been out to hurt, you must become the person who's out to bless. You need to be the one who gives. You need to be the one who serves. You need to become a person of kindness. God will build it into you. Kindness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But if you've had that edge in you, it just likes to slice people, you need to back off and become the one who brings healing and good. We took a look at wisdom. We can say a lot more about it. Basically, if you start out following Jesus, getting into the Word of God, and are willing to make the hard choices of life out of respect for God, not trying to wrangle the Scripture so it says what you want it to, you've already broken through the fear of the Lord, and you're into the realm of beginning to really deal with life rightly. Press on with it. you had one of these other patterns, and we've all had some of them, then realize it's just a source of pain. Begin to take the practical situations in front of you that where you've had the other strategy and change them to do what God wants. Well, one of my friends had a tell me this afternoon about the 50th anniversary party for his parents. It was a great 3-day celebration. And he said, you know, there were several people who said at the end of it that they had wanted their lives to be like this, but their lives weren't turning out like that, and they wanted to make changes. He said, you know, all you have to do is just keep doing right for a long time. Well, that's right. Key word is long. But then wonderful fruit comes from it. The blessings of wisdom are many. One of them is you get to know God. And out of knowing God, you begin to live a very different quality of life. Wisdom and folly, one of two camps. Razor thin line between. The breakthrough into wisdom is letting Jesus be the boss.